You can turn to John chapter 10 if you'd like. If you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, John chapter 10 here. We're just going to read these first several verses down through verse 18 and verses 1 through 18 here in John chapter 10. I love this passage of Scripture. Such a comforting, wonderful passage of Scripture from our Lord, and we're so thankful for it. If you'll join me out loud on the even verses, I'll read by myself on the odd verses. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." As I was going through here, I love this passage of Scripture. John chapter 10 is just an amazing chapter of the Bible. And it's no wonder that as we go out, you understand evangelism is important, right? Going out and reaching people for Christ, handing out gospel tracts, being a witness, sharing our testimony, our faith with others, being that lighthouse as we should be. And you know what? People ought to know that Jesus is all the world to you, and that he's your Savior, and he's the love of your life. People ought to be able to see it on your face. Amen. But as we go out, you understand, gospel tracts are written to be able to get people's attention, right? To give them the information they need to draw them to Jesus Christ. And so it's no wonder that all across the world, when people are going out to foreign countries or even here in the United States, that as they go out, they give people two books of the Bible. And generally speaking, right? If they're not able to hand out a whole Bible to people, which I think is a great opportunity if you have the opportunity to do so. But if you can't, what do people generally hand out? Yeah, John and Romans. Okay? Because and when people get saved and they say, well, now what? Where do I start? I tell them, read the Gospel of John. You understand that this is this particular gospel and the way John wrote it, and you have to understand John's relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? John was called the beloved apostle, right? And we talked about that in our Sunday school lesson, you know, I don't even know how long ago, a long time ago. But, you know, I can't even believe that December is going to be fulfillment of 3 years here in the ministry, where has the time gone? Right? You guys, like, it's been years and years and years. Well, for me, it's been that, okay? It's been fast. But John had indeed a special relationship with Christ. We know that John was the only apostle to die of, if you will, natural causes, okay? As far as old age, etc., such and so forth. He was the one that God allowed to see the things in Revelation to come. This is amazing. So this perspective that John writes this gospel from is just eye-opening, okay? It comes from a real relationship with Christ, and one that was a close relationship with Christ. So as John records here in Jesus talking, please understand that as we began kind of in chapter 8 with Jesus Christ going through these things and talking with the Pharisees, and then we moved into chapter 9 with the blind man and again dealing with the Pharisees. You understand that at the end of chapter 9, Jesus is still dealing with the Pharisees. So as please understand also that chapter and verse divisions are not inspired by God, if you will, okay? They're there for clarity, to break. No, I think they're right, okay? But if you want to call them inspiration, I don't know that you can go that far, okay? But please understand that just because now it says chapter 10, it doesn't mean that the scene changed. Okay? It doesn't mean that Jesus went to another city or perhaps this was another day or a month or even a year later or anything like that. This is more than likely the same time. So he's still talking to the same people. He's still dealing with the same issues. You say, now it's chapter 10. So now we have no, it doesn't necessarily mean that type of a transition. But I just wanted to explain. Everybody okay with that? Okay? So he says unto them, he's talking to them, he just got done dealing with blindness, spiritual blindness, and he says to them in verse 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth some up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So you understand that he says, if you try to skirt things and try to go around things that are already established, that are already set up, the same is a thief and a robber. Let me give you some perspective. Genesis chapter 3. What had God created? Everything, right? The heavens, the earth, the land, the light, the moon, the fish, the fowl, and mankind, right? Everything was made by God. He established mankind as the authority here on this earth, right? Gave them dominion over everything. Adam named all the animals. You understand all that went on. And then God set up law and order here on this earth, didn't he? Who undermined that? The same as a thief and a robber. Yea, hath God said. What was he trying to steal? Yeah, God's crowning creation, right? And did he succeed? Yeah, he did. But do you understand? So what is Jesus talking about? This thing of the sheepfold. In history, scripture, in culture, a sheepfold was a place to protect the sheep, right? In Numbers, I remember when they were going into the promised land and the tribes that wanted to stay on the other side, they said, hey, let us have our inheritance here, but we're going to go and help you conquer the land here. But they says in Numbers, they said, and the same came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. What were those sheepfolds and cities meant to do while they were away fighting in the promised land for their brethren? Protect. What's a sheepfold for? Protection. Okay? What do you think God set up everything in the Garden of Eden and all that? What was it all set up for? Protection. And so anybody that tries to enter in some other way than by the entrance, by the right way, the same as a thief and a robber. So I wanted to just give you the context of what Jesus was saying here in verses 1 and 2. And he says, hey, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And before that, he said, the same that climbeth over or is up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So think about this. Why did God establish the law? As a sheepfold, a protection. What did the Pharisees and Judaism, if you will, as time went on, end up doing? They made their own ways in. They added their own things to it, and they tried to become the door. They tried to become the ones that were regulating how they went in and out and such and so forth. And what did Jesus constantly battle and fight with through his earthly ministry? Yeah, because they were doing it the wrong way. They didn't understand what the law was really all about. It was all about pointing to the Messiah. Pointing to Him. The law was a schoolmaster, we're told, right? And they said, hey, Jesus is saying, listen, you guys are false shepherds. You've entered in some other way. You've undermined, you've come around, and you've done these things. You are not the right shepherds, because you didn't come in by the door. You didn't come in the right way. He said, later on, we're going to talk about this. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but he says, I'm the door. What did they reject? Him. They rejected him as shepherd. They rejected him as savior. They rejected him as the door. And they said, we're the door. We're the shepherds. We're following the law of God. And that's the way. Well, it's not. He says in verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So he said, the one that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. What, you know what? Jesus came in the fullness of time. He was the fulfillment of all the prophecies. He was the fulfillment of everything, because he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He's the one that was able to enter in. That's the one the sheep were waiting for. But remember, we know in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So Jesus is still trying to teach the Pharisees. He's still trying to show them the way. And I want you to understand, look at verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. In Scripture, we have a passage of Scripture. I want to, that was redundant. I want to read to you in Ezekiel chapter 34. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them. Listen, this is back in Ezekiel. This is not in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. This is back in Ezekiel's day. The prophet Ezekiel. He says, prophesy unto these shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But then we stop there. What did Jesus do if one was lost? 99 were in the fold. One was lost. What did Jesus do? Go after him. He says, you are not doing that. He says, the ones that are lost, you don't seek them. He says, but with force and cruelty have ye ruled them. Think about the Pharisees. Again, this is way before the Pharisees in Ezekiel. But think about how they were lording over the people, right? They were in that position, and people were afraid of these guys. Remember the parents of the blind man? They didn't want to speak up for what had happened because they were afraid of being kicked out. The blind man, I appreciate his honesty. He wasn't afraid. They kicked him out. But that's how these Pharisees, that's how these shepherds of Israel were dealing with the people. It says here that they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat unto all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. He said, my sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Do you understand here? He's calling them shepherds because that's what they were supposed to be. But then he makes a statement, there was no shepherd. Because what is the definition of a shepherd? One who cares for the sheep. Now, here in Ezekiel, this is, and if you want to look it up on your own, you can. It's Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 15. That's what I'm reading from here. This prophecy, or this word of the Lord that Ezekiel was given, you understand, they were supposed to be leading people in God's way, the right way, the sheepfold way. They're supposed to be caring for the sheep. And I don't have time today, and I've mentioned it before, and I may do it one of these days, but sheep are so very needy animals. Everybody wave at me. Because we're sheep. We're very needy animals. Disease, infection, wandering. They need to be led to where to be fed, led to where to drink. They need so much care. And God is proclaiming judgment on these that were supposed to be shepherds. He says, there are no shepherds. You're supposed to be the shepherds. There are no shepherds. He says, therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock. In the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered from the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Who cares for the sheep? The shepherd. Jesus said here, he says, hey, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Can I tell you something? That's Jesus Christ. He's the shepherd. He's the one that has given us the right way. God's design. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Think about what David wrote in Psalm 23. You probably have this memorized. The Lord is my shepherd. Is that your case today? Hey, sheep, out there, whose voice do you listen to? Whose voice do you hear? Whose voice do you know? Whose directions do you follow? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Guess what a sheep does? Follows the shepherd. That's what we ought to do. And that's what we ought to be. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Why do we not have want in our lives? Because he supplies our every need. He takes care of us, right? What are we supposed to pray as we pray and to talk to God? We're supposed to give us this day our... Yeah. God's going to meet our needs. If God calls you to go do something, guess what he's going to do? Provide. Okay, quick recap. I know we don't have time to tell my whole story here, right? Can I tell you something? Everywhere that I've gone, in the will of God, God has provided. Okay? The biggest question that the church here at Lighthouse had when Pastor Raspberry said, hey, I think you should call Brother Combs and talk to him about being the next pastor of the church. The biggest question they had was, how are we going to take care of this man and his ginormous family? Now, I don't know how I don't think they used that word, because that's just a kind of a made up word. But that was a big concern, wasn't it? You know what my answer for that was? Don't worry about it. And that's still my answer today. 3 years into this. I'm not worried about it. And I'm not cavalier about it. I may seem cavalier to you because I'm just confident. But I don't have to worry about taking care of my family. Because God is going to take care of our family. If he wants us to be here, that's what I told him. I said, when I interviewed to come here, I said, I don't want to talk about money. I told Pastor Raspberry that on the phone. I said, we are not discussing finances. We're going to discuss whether or not I should be here first. When we decide on that, then we'll talk about the finances. That's fine. But you understand, it's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, it's okay to live that way, folks. If he's our shepherd, we should trust him. Don't you think the shepherd knows what he's doing? I think so. Don't you think he cares for the sheep? Yeah. I mean, God just berated these people because they weren't what they were supposed to be as shepherds. They were abusing the sheep. They were only looking out for themselves. Okay, guess what? A shepherd doesn't look out for himself. He looks out for the sheep. Jesus Christ sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Father, not my will, but thine be done. He said, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm the shepherd. That's how we ought to look at God. And look at Jesus Christ. You know what? We get so worried about all the things in this world. What does that mean? We're not trusting the shepherd. He cares for us. He loves us. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He says, I'm the shepherd, and I'm the one that's going to put forth his own sheep and go before them, and the sheep will follow him, and they know his voice. They're not going to listen to the strangers, because they're going to listen to Jesus Christ. Why are Christians today listening to the voices of strangers? To what the world says? What other religions say? Christians are listening to other voices today. Why are you not just tuned in to God's voice? Why aren't you just tuned in to the voice that God is speaking to? That's why we're called Bible-believing Baptists. Because it's about this book. It's about his voice. It's about the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. He's to guide us into all truth. But yet we're tossed about by every wind of doctrine. We'll follow anything, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, that looks yummy. No. But what about this? What about the voice of the shepherd, the one that saved us from our sins? The one that gave us eternal life, the one who is our Savior. David said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You understand? That verb, he maketh me. What does that mean? It means I didn't want to. But he maketh me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Are we going to follow his leadership? Guess what? We don't understand. I was just talking to someone yesterday about the will of God and about the things, how God directs us. And you understand that we still have free choice. Okay, we get to choose. The sheep, they get to choose whether or not they're going to follow the shepherd, follow the voice of the shepherd. I understand these things. But when the shepherd wants to take care of the sheep, what does he have to do sometimes to get them to do what they need to do? Grab hold of them, right? When you get that, nowadays electric shears, right? You have to hold on to the sheep because they're just going to say, okay, please cut all my fur off or my wool off. Not fur, I guess. Right? No, they don't like that. But is it good for them? Yes. I don't know if you've seen any of these farm... anybody like to watch farm videos? You've seen those ones where they doing the hooves and they have find those pockets of nasty stuff in there. I think it's interesting. I don't know. Some people don't. But you ever seen them shear sheep? One video I saw one time... This was years ago. There was this sheep that hadn't been sheared for like years. And it had been it was just the oddest looking thing. But then they started cutting into that and all kinds of, the poor thing. I think the sheep actually died because all the infection had set in underneath there. It was just awful. Okay? But he's there to care for the sheep. And you know what? If a sheep is prone to wander, like the song says, you know what the shepherd would do? Get that staff and what? Hook them back in first, right? And if they kept wandering off, you know what he'd do? He'd take that staff and he'd break one of their legs. You see, that's awful for the sheep. No, that's really good for the sheep. Because now it won't wander away. You say, but, oh, that shepherd, he's so mean. No, that shepherd, he's so loving. He loved that sheep so much, he's willing to do something difficult to that sheep because it's the best thing for the sheep. That's the kind of shepherd we have in Jesus Christ. He maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus is our shepherd. He keeps us safe in the sheepfold. There's a door. And those that would try to enter in from without are thieves and robbers. In verse 6, we understand this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the door of the sheepfold. In Romans 5, the Bible tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What does that word access mean? It means we can go in, right? We have access. Who is our access? Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the door. He's the one that's our door. He's the one that's our access. And he's the one that we can... He says if we entered in, we shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's the good shepherd. In verse 11, he giveth his life for the sheep. He's not talking about the hirelings that don't really care for the sheep. They don't own the sheep. He is the one that's the owner of the sheep. He's the one that is there to care for them. He's our door. He's our good shepherd. We have access through Jesus Christ. In John 14, Jesus said, I already quoted part of this to you earlier. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Do you know him? Have you seen him? Is he your Savior? Is he your shepherd? Is he your door of access that you can enter in and go in and out and have that pasture and find pasture and have that abundance in our lives? You understand that he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's the good shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. He's the one that cares for his sheep. He is our Savior. In verse 18, he says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself and have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm talking about the shepherd today. Do you know the shepherd? Have you heard his voice? God wants us to be saved, but we have to come through Jesus Christ. And once we are saved, we should have the confidence in him to be able to go in and go out and find pasture. Because we know he's going to care for us. He's going to be that type of a protector and a shepherd and a provider for us. In Matthew 7, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Are we going to listen to the shepherd? Are we going to hear his voice? In John 10, he's telling them, hey, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Do we do that? Is that the kind of life we live? Are we the type of sheep that he has to go out and find because we've wandered off? Are we the type of sheep that wants to stay out in the pasture past dark because we want a little bit more? We don't want to go back into the sheepfold to be protected from all the night critters that are looking for a sheep meal? Get it? Sheep meal. Never mind. That was a reach on a pun. Okay, just a little bit. I thought it was good, but you know, that's just me. See, some of you got it now. You're like, oh, I get it now. A sheep meal. Sheep, never mind. If you have to explain it, it's not that funny, okay? But I still think it was funny. That was clever. All right, now, because the wolves are out there. We don't want to go back in the sheepfold. We want to stay out in the pasture. We're not following his leadership. God wants us to listen to his voice. He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that we should listen to. Jesus is the doorway to eternal life. He's the doorway out of bondage of sin and false doctrine. He's the exit or escape from the old life. He's the door of the entrance to the new life. He's the door of security. We shall go in and go out. He's the door of contentment and satisfaction. We shall find pasture. In Hebrews 10, the Bible tells us, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For faithful is he that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I want to know today what your relationship with the shepherd is. What's your relationship with the door of the sheepfold is? You say, well, how can I have a relationship with the shepherd and a door? That doesn't make any sense. Jesus Christ is both. He's both. You say, how can Jesus be two different things? Because he's Jesus. But they're the same. They're both protectors. They're both to keep us safe. They're both to allow entrance and provision for us in our lives. And that's what Jesus provides for us. Do you know that you're born again today? And then if you are born again today, are you a good sheep? Are you a good sheep? Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Or are you listening to the voices of others? Whose voice are you following? Jesus was dealing with these Pharisees. He was trying to explain to them, but they would not understand. We need to understand. You say, I don't understand why God's putting these things in my life. You need to understand. Therefore, you're good. He loves you. He's faithful. He's true. We need to trust the shepherd. Don't trust those that try to come in some other way. They're thieves and robbers. We need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but for life after salvation. He's our good shepherd, and we need to follow him.